Hello, everybody. Welcome to Shift Church. We're here streaming live on a Wednesday evening on Facebook, but you might be listening on a podcast or watching later on YouTube or Facebook, and that's absolutely fine. That's what this is designed for, Shift Church, so it can shift in time and space and still be one community gathering around the Word of God and having a think about things. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church in Wellington and St Catherine's in Eyton, just outside Telford. I'm kind of hosting this evening, and I've got two folk with me tonight. I've got Lynn. Say good evening, Lynn.
Good evening.
And say good evening, Sarah.
Good after evening, Sarah. Hello, everyone. Good to
good
be back.
Good after evening.
Well, you said say good after, and then you changed yourself, so I was just responding to you said. Yeah, it's good to be back. I've not been here for ages.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute.
Oh.
Who? Well,
we've got listeners already.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Good. Yes. So if you are with us live on Facebook, please do contribute on the stream. Lynn will be keeping an eye on that. And you can ask questions. You can say hi to each other.
You've been missed, Sarah, apparently.
Oh, bless.
You can say you miss Sarah. You can share prayer requests, anything like that. If you're catching up later and you want to join in the conversation, please do by email tim@allsaints-wellington.org, or you can go on the Facebook page for this, Facebook group, I think. Group page, can't remember. Anyway,
group, I think.
It's a group, and join in the conversation there. If you're not a member of that group and you'd like to be, again, just drop us a message on Facebook and we'll add you to the group. That would be lovely. We can all catch up with each other. So, yes. So tonight, a little bit, when we get in, we're going to be thinking about climate change, climate justice, COP26, our own responsibilities and all that. But as Sarah says, it's a little while since she's been on screen with us. So, Sarah, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm actually doing the Pathways course with the diocese. And it just happens to take place on a Wednesday evening. It's exactly the same time as Shift Church. For those that don't know, it's a 12-month, well, it's an academic year, of course. It's there really for a bit of a journey for those who are sort of not new to faith, they're sort of established in the faith, and then it's a case of deciding where you want to go next. Obviously, I've got stuff that I do already with church, particularly the mission discipleship group, which I chair and what have you. So I definitely felt that this is going to that. And then some people use it if they're considering, training to come to join the clergy, or if they want to be a lay reader. There's all sorts of reasons you could decide to do the course. So. Yeah, so I'm now on my Christmas break from that.
Whoa! And you are
now
our resident theological student expert. So all difficult questions to Sarah.
Only on Mark at the minute. Corinthians after Christmas.
There you go. But seriously, I mean, Sarah's right. It runs for an academic year. If you want to know more about that, if you want to think, actually some wider, slightly deeper Bible study, exploration of call and vocation and ministry. Drop Sarah a line, drop Sarah a question in the comments now.
Absolutely.
She'll tell you a bit more about that. If you're local, Litchfield Diocese run it, but other dioceses, what's the plural of diocese?
Diocese.
Thank you, Sarah. Diocese run similar things, so get in touch with your local church. If you're interested in that. It's a really good thing to do. My daughter's doing some theology stuff at the moment as well, and that's great. I really enjoyed my time at theological college. It's always good to dive deeper into the Bible.
Definitely. And it doesn't matter how well you think you know, a book of the Bible, a passage, a story, whatever. It's amazing how by discussing it, you can get whole new angles on things and think, wow, I'd never even thought of that.
But also, it doesn't matter if you don't think you know the Bible well enough, because that's kind of the whole point. Of know it better. So don't disqualify yourself by thinking, all these clever people know their Bibles really well.
It's not, no, it's just, from my point of view, you sort of know the stories, don't you? The stories, but you know the tellings of it. But yeah, it's brilliant. I can strongly recommend the course. I'm really enjoying it.
Great stuff. And you get to meet people from all kinds of different churches.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good thing. Despite Sarah's tone of voice, that's a good thing.
No, it isn't good. I wasn't aware that it was any other sort of one. Listen, no, you have to realise...
I saw the roll of the eyes there, Sarah.
No, that must be my lazy eye. it's a family trait. No. And don't forget, I'm having a traumatic day because my baby turned 30 today, so I'm really...
Get over.
Yeah.
Traumatic.
Okay, anyway, enough of this nonsense.
Thanks, Tim.
It's really good to have you back. It's really good to have you back on screen with us, Sarah. And yeah, all good. So, as I said, to change gear a little bit, no smooth segue here. This is just like crunching gear change.
No change there, then.
Yeah, missed you too, Sarah. We're all Lynn stuck in the middle of us two tonight.
A rose between two thorns.
Yes, absolutely.
I ain't saying nothing.
Very sensible. Right, crunching change gears. We are thinking about climate justice tonight. And we normally have a bit of a spoken word thing to kick us off. And we finish with prayer. Now, we are going to finish with prayer again tonight. But there's a kind of 3 or 4 minute video prayer around climate justice and climate change that we used on Sunday. We thought it was really powerful. So we wanted to share it. I wasn't there on Sunday, actually, so I haven't seen this all the way through.
We wanted to see it again.
So folk on the team voted to see it again, and I get to see it for the first time along with some of you. And it will just give us an opportunity to breathe, be aware of the presence of God, be aware of God's heart for these issues. Wherever we are, whether we're sat in front of our TV, listening on our headphones, out in the car, whatever. So just a moment to focus our minds on these issues. So here we go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Creator God, who made all things, we acknowledge as your handiwork, we stand alongside all which you have created.
Trees, rivers, mountains and valleys, soaring birds and scuttling creatures, all are held within your care.
Gydan gilydd rydym wedi ein creu I dy anrhydeddu a dy foli.
May we grow in our love and appreciation for your creation. And may our awe and wonder draw us closer to you, the God of all things.
Your kingdom come.
Your sitam paramandalathil seyyappaduvathu pole bhoomiyilum seyyappaduvathaaga.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
For you so loved the world, the cosmos, the entirety of creation, of which we humans are just one part.
May we learn again how to care for this planet.
As we pause and consider the climate emergency, we remember that we're praying to the Lord of all the earth.
Give us today our daily bread.
Lord, grant us the wisdom to care for your earth.
幫助我們成為一個新創造的器皿.
Sharing your provision and goodness with all our neighbours.
Founded on the covenant of your love.
Lord God, you made the world and declared it was very good.
As temperatures rise, storms rage, forests burn, and islands sink, it is the people who have done the least to cause the climate crisis who are suffering the most.
We stand together in sorrow.
We ask for forgiveness, for you are the God of all, who restores all relationships when we repent.
Forgive us for decades of inaction and for not living in accordance with your will.
As we forgive those who sin against us.
I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority.
World leaders gathered at COP26 carry a huge burden of responsibility over this world that you love so much.
We hold them in our prayers. May they have humble and wise hearts.
We pray for anointed diplomacy, boldness, and conviction to show your love to those who have least.
We pray for unity among the nations and for compelling voices and leaders to rise up so that miraculously action will begin.
But deliver us from evil.
May we remember that we are a global community. Our actions and choices affect one another.
Help us resist the temptation to make choices for our convenience and to consider how those choices affect our neighbors across the world.
Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Help us respond with the radical love of Jesus.
A love that disrupts the status quo and sacrifices itself to bring restoration.
This is our responsibility.
This is our worship.
Lord, renew us in a steadfast spirit and cleanse our hearts.
Renew our minds and transform our lives.
Renew our world.
Car c'est à toi qu'appartiennent le règne, la puissance et la gloire.
Now and forever. Amen.
Yeah, it's good. I was speaking for Compassion at the church in Nuneaton on Sunday, but they showed that as well. Yeah,
it's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they have got, I mean, I went on to the TFUN website, and there are people from all over the world speaking that prayer, you know, in out of where they are, basically.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening, there were various bits in other languages there you will have picked up. Those watching, you got subtitles, but I'll put it in the Facebook group, a link to it as well. So if you want to go and find out what all the words were, you can go and do that. So yeah, we're going to continue exploring those themes and ideas today. And we've got some Bible readings. So who's reading the first reading, which is, I don't know.
Psalm 8.
Yeah, let's have Psalm 8 first, shall we, Sarah?
Well, that's me. I've got a bit of a treat for you tonight, guys, which is great for those that can see. Tim's seen this, but since I was last on, I've got a new Bible. I've got two new Bibles.
Big enough.
So, yeah, I thought it's a bit like Jack and Ori. So what I'm holding is a giant King James we're having with thee and thine tonight, just because we can. I went to Hay on Wye and came back with two very big Bibles dating back to 1843. So
you must have a new handbag then.
No, two strong sons, that's what I've got. So yeah, I'm reading Psalm 8 from here, as I say, King James Version, obviously. There's a couple of nice little notes actually in this. Because I, you can probably tell me, Tim, here's a bit of a question. How many, I knew it was a lot, but how many of the Psalms did King David write? Do you know?
We have no idea.
Oh, well, that's not what I've learned, apparently. Well, out of the 150, King David is apparently credited to 73 of those and possibly two more. But there we go. So that's a lot, isn't it?
Shall we say ascribed to David?
Ascribed to, yes, okie dokie. And one thought, the title of that's given to this, it says, God's glory is magnified by his works and by his love to man. And the title on this is to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. And there's a note in the Bible saying that there's one thinking that this was composed by King David after he had overthrown Goliath of Gath. And that's what the Gittith relates to. So there we go. That's what they said in 1843, anyway. So Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Amen. Lovely. There you go, a little bit of history for us tonight.
Yeah.
Excellent. And
Charlotte says your Bible is bigger than her dog.
Yes, but Daisy May is very small.
Bigger than my cat as well.
Right. Where are you?
My cat smells better than that though.
Where are you reading from, Lynn?
Well, you told me, Matthew.
Excellent, good.
Matthew 19. Verses 6 to 22, isn't it? Yeah. Verses 16 to 22. Yeah. It's the rich young man. Now, a man came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth.
Thank you.
Well, for a minute then, it was going to be my... I wear a couple of bracelets and they're both Bible quotes. One is the one that I've got on my tattoo. The other one is Matthew 19:26. So I was getting excited then. We've got all things are possible.
Indeed, we've got all things are possible. So we're going to continue reflecting on those passages on the climate emergency and climate justice with the help of Margaret, who spoke on Sunday morning. If you've got questions or comments or insights that you want to share, please do put them on the stream or email in. We'll pick them up for next week, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. So over to Margaret. Here we go.
Through them, and each one of us will hear you speaking, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder whether you're beginning to get COP26 fatigue. You're hearing it, I imagine, on every newscast, you're seeing it on the television, and is it beginning just to go over your heads? Because I think sometimes we can be overexposed to things and we just begin to ignore them. Have you thought about why Christians ought to be involved in climate change? Have you ever thought about that? In the first lockdown, people became those who had the joy of having a garden became very aware of their gardens. The gardens bloomed, they were probably taken care of in a way they'd not been taken care of for years. And I remember hearing birdsong in a way that I thought I hadn't heard birdsong for a long time because it was all so quiet. And in some ways, I really quite enjoyed that first lockdown. Looking back, there was a time of great peace, could enjoy nature. And I can remember coming, it was after the lockdown had begun to ease, I was, when I was at Attingham, it must have been the early autumn, I can remember a visitor saying, oh, thank you so much for keeping this place open, that we've been able to go for walks and enjoy. It's been such a help when I'm having to work at home. So I think most of us, really appreciated nature in a way perhaps we hadn't done before. And we enjoyed it more, perhaps because we'd had more time to do so. In the creation story, we have in Genesis 1, at the end of Genesis chapter 1, we have God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. With that sack of rubbish that Joe or Chris had collected and Joe brought with her, we saw a way in which we as human beings, can't blame anyone else but human beings, mar the world because we drop litter. Now, I want you to think very, very, very carefully. Can you put your hand up to say you have never, ever, ever dropped litter? And I'm not saying necessarily intentionally, but perhaps something's dropped out of your pocket and then blown away, so you haven't been able to pick it up. Right, is there anyone that can put their hand up and say they've never, ever, ever littered? Well, I think we've got some very virtuous people here. I have difficulty in totally believing you, but if you put your hands up. But it's, I would say the majority of us, hopefully, try, if something comes out of pocket, we try and pick it up. It's not always possible. But we try to. We don't, I hope no one here deliberately litters. And it is interesting when you walk around, particularly in that first lockdown, I was aware of the rubbish that was accumulating, the plastic bottles. And I think because of the, if you like, the fear of the disease, I wasn't prepared to pick things up in a way that I have done before. So we then have at the end of, in Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. He put him in the Garden of Eden, and his purpose was to take care of it. And that's the challenge of climate change to me. Are we taking care of this beautiful world that God has given for us to live in? How much care are you taking? How much care am I taking? And we have in that first reading, Psalm 8, it's a psalm that I like so much. We have the psalmist saying, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. Wow. Puts us in a place, doesn't it? The glory of God, the wonder of the earth. And particularly if you're somewhere where you have not got light pollution, to see the glory of the stars. What is God that he cares about us? That he's put us at the top of creation. But being at the top of creation comes with responsibility, which it seems to me so often as humankind we're not rising up to. Do we see ourselves as guardians of the earth? So I believe that Christians have to be involved in climate change. If we really say that we love God, then actually we have to love his creation, and therefore we have to look after it. And I personally find that quite a challenge in many ways. Many of you, I'm sure, will have seen David Attenborough's programs would have seen Blue Planet. And there's one program that I can remember so vividly. It was about plastic, and it was showing how plastic had come up against an island, and it was It was so wide, all this plastic rubbish. Who's that created by? It's created by us humans. And there was something on the in the news, I think at the beginning of the week that's just gone, about plastic wipes being flushed down the loos, which you're not supposed to do. It does say that. But isn't it easier just to get rid of it, to flush it down a loo? And what's happening, there's plastic in it, and those plastic particles are fouling up the waterways, etc., etc., are poisoning the fish. It's partly because we're lazy, aren't we? I believe that we're all lazy in different ways. We take shortcuts because it suits us. And you've probably seen the pictures of deforestation and the damage that causes. So the root cause, actually, of climate change is actually human greed, exploiting the Earth's resources. So what does it mean for you and your family? Does climate change really impact you? Is it in your thinking very much? We're lucky here that we don't experience real extremes of weather. We do know there has been flooding in various places, and are probably very grateful we don't live in those places. But there are areas of the world which are becoming inhabitable, where islands are being submerged, where people are living when instead of having a monsoon period, so they know it's going to rain at this time of year, something we've never known, that sort of it's going to rain then, and then it's going to be dry. That's not happening. So they're facing severe droughts, and therefore they're not able to grow their crops, they're not able to feed their animals. Or the reverse is happening, there's flooding, so that washes out their crops. We don't experience that, for which we are very, very fortunate. So I think in some ways it's very easy for us to say, oh, well, you know, doesn't expect us. Apparently 132 million people live in extreme poverty because of climate change. I find that absolutely horrendous. Again, we are so lucky, aren't we? And so our role as Christians is to look after the earth. And I want us to just look at that second reading that Ali brought to us about that rich young man who comes to Jesus. And he obviously wants to find something out. Obviously, I believe the Spirit is moving in him because he comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to gain eternal life? And so Jesus comes up with all the commandments. And the bloke, he can say, well, actually, I've kept those. So what am I missing? And Jesus got to the root cause. Your wealth is blocking you. And he goes away sadly. And to me, the thing to take from this is that climate change is going to cost us in many different ways. Are we prepared for that cost? Are we prepared to change our way of life? For those of us who've got cars, petrol or diesel, are we prepared to think about walking? Well, that's going to take me much longer. Oh, I haven't got time to do that. Or cycling. Or going on a bus or a train. Or sharing a car. It makes us think. It can cause us a problem in time. Can be costly in time. You've possibly heard of toilet twinning. In the ladies' loo in the parish centre, there is actually a picture of a loo that our loos are twinned with. And we did some years ago also collect money for loos for a school. So you can now also twin your rubbish bin. Many parts of the world have no rubbish collection. And if any of you have been to these parts of the world, I'm going to tell you it's horrendous. You just see rubbish piled up. So, of course, what they do partly is burn it to help reduce it. Well, that causes pollution. Also, because there is rubbish around, we know this from when we've had no rubbish collections occasionally in this country, you then begin to get disease. You get rats, etc. By twinning your bin with a social enterprise, that's collecting and recycling rubbish, helps prevent disease, provides the protects the environment, and provides jobs. And you can find about it on bintwinning.org. And I will get that put into the notice sheet. But it's perhaps a small thing that we can all do, because I believe that small things are effective. Sometimes people say, oh, well, there's no point. And I remember someone saying, oh, there's no point in voting. My vote doesn't count. But actually, if we all said that, nothing would happen. If you think about lakes, they happen with drops of water. Each single drop contributes. In the same way, any action we take will help. We could perhaps change to green energy. Again, that might cost more than our present providers. And in a time when energy prices are going up, I'm perhaps sort of all going to be careful what I'm saying. But I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So there's lots of small things that we can do to help with climate change. And as I've said, nothing is too small. So we need to repent of our selfishness and greed that has helped to bring about climate change. We need to pray for ourselves that we are more willing to perhaps change our lifestyle bit by bit. And we need to pray for the leaders of the nations, particularly at this time, as they're making the decisions that are going to affect us all. We need to speak up. A Christian body needs to speak up, speaking truth to power. And we need to change our way of living, which may be costly, but we are called to be guardians of God's creation. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your beautiful world that you've given us. And Lord, it's an overwhelming responsibility to put us in charge of your creation. Lord, help us. Help us to recognise where we need to change our lives and how we can truly be guardians of this wonderful earth that you have given us to live on. Amen.
Amen. So, I wonder what bits of that particularly struck you from either from Margaret's reflections or from the Bible passage. Do put some suggestions on the comment stream, then we'll pick those up.
Yes.
If you've got questions. What about you, Lynn? You've got a real heart for this stuff with your transition to Telford and your Extinction Rebellion stuff. I'm quite surprised I haven't seen you on the news glued to a motorway.
That's the Insulate Britain people. Well, I picked up this little thing in a craft shop a couple of years back, and it really says it all. Can you read that?
Less is more.
Less is more.
Less is more. And that kind of says it, what Jesus was saying to the rich young ruler and what Margaret was saying to us. Less is more. We may think, oh, it's going to cost me financially. But we have to kind of get out of that way of thinking and think, I may have to pay more. This may cost me more. But if I don't do this, is this going to kill me? Because there will be no air left to breathe, no water that's not polluted, no land that's full of rubbish. And yeah, I went and saw, there was a film at the Orbit, Eating Ourselves to Extinction. Now, this was a documentary showing, it was, I suppose, a vehicle for to try and persuade you to become vegan. But it did show the food industry, and I would call it an industry advisedly. There's nowhere in the oceans, no fish that is not permeated by microplastics. Fish farming. So any fish you buy in any supermarket, anywhere, will have microplastics in it. So, you know, there are plastics in the oceans, in fish, in animals, in the air, in us. And that's a bit alarming to think of. And we've done this. We dug the stuff out of the ground. We invented plastic.
reusing it again and again. And so hence the drive to sort of for Wellington and Telford to be plastic free, which isn't completely plastic free, but it's sort of cutting down on single use plastic.
Yeah.
And that's just a little example, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Two things that have struck me recently that I've read or heard about kind of the eating side of this. So I was just thinking, because I've been trying to do this stuff for a while, and we're on green energy, and we're on a hybrid car rather than a full electric. But those kind of actually, my food is probably my biggest bit of carbon use that I'm not covering. And two things that I've come across this week have struck me. One, the carbon footprint of avocados.
It's terrible.
It's huge. Terrible. And the amount of water they take to grow.
Yeah.
And the ridiculous thing is, I don't know if anybody else ever been to kind of Central Africa and had proper avocados straight off an avocado tree?
No.
They're a size of a baby's head. And you know, we get large avocados in Morrison's and they're about this big, like not very. It's because they're not in season here. They shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be eating them here. And that's the real thing for me, because I really like avocado, despite having had problems.
Yeah, I just know, it's a very Western problem, isn't it? Avocados. If anything, you could have picked avocados.
Here's the ridiculous thing. Where have I had them? I've had them in South Sudan, in Uganda, like proper avocados, where they are actually almost not quite staple food, but huge avocados, which you'd pay huge amounts of money for in the UK, just like eaten normally at normal meals. But rather than match that food, which is grown locally and going to local people, they have these huge plantations which grow tiny, horrible little avocados, which they then ship halfway around the world to us. It's nonsense. And all it takes for that not to happen is for enough of us to say, actually, do you know what? We can do without avocados.
Well, people in the West have decided, oh no, you know, I'll go vegan, and decided that they want milk, but they don't want cow's milk, they don't want dairy, so they'll have almond. Almond, again, is another crop that's highly intensive for water.
Yeah.
And again, we shipped around the world.
Yeah.
The people in the West who want to drink that. So that's why I have a problem with that, you know. And soya, again, a big monoculture.
Yeah.
So
the other thing was, those of you who know me know I listen to Radio 4 quite a lot. And on Sunday lunchtime, I was driving home, I was listening to the food programme. It's probably on BBC Sounds or whatever it is. You can go and listen to it. And it was a whole programme on looking on sustainable eating. And they went to a little cooperative. I'm not entirely sure it was. Somewhere in this country. And pretty much they have some allotments. They grow the veg. They eat the veg. The food waste goes to the pigs. The pigs grow. They slaughter the pigs. They eat the sausages. It's all local. They've got... The field that the pigs were in that year, they stick potatoes in, which then grow really nicely.
Because they've been, yeah.
Good. Yeah, yeah. Then they eat the potatoes, and the field they keep the pigs in changes every year. They've got a few cows, they have milk, but then the cows are moved from pasture to pasture.
Sustainable agriculture.
They grow following the cows as well. And it's... Yeah. All sustainable. It does include some dairy and some meat, but not loads. But it's sustainable because the food waste doesn't become waste because it's fed to the animals. The animals produce the manure which grow next year's food.
Yeah.
And
it's usually the big monoculture and agribusinesses that are doing the damage. Sustainable agriculture tends to be smaller, more mixed, is what you're saying. And that doesn't do... damage. The trouble is, we have to convince the world and agribusinesses that sustainable agriculture is the way to go.
Yeah.
It seems to me this is the big thing is that if we all here and in other European countries and what have you are very supportive, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to change, but then you've got the likes of China and Russia who are doing nothing, in fact, or let's just start coal mining and what have you, you know? And And it's difficult with some people, I know, because I've heard them say, well, why should we do all this change? And then they do nothing.
Mm. The thing is,
you can't all think like that.
it's the same as for COVID. We're not safe till we're all safe.
Yeah.
And there are activists in China and Russia and Australia too. You just don't hear about it because the media don't want you to. Mm.
I think the shift I've noticed, though, is which is a positive, is that mindset of, oh, well, if it's too late, if I do anything, I'm going to be dead and gone before all of the event. And I think that mindset is changing now. It's not that that's an issue. It's not that sort of thought of, well, you know, I'm going to be all right, Jack. I think there's definitely that concern for children, grandchildren and what have you, and a guilt really of what we're passing on. So that's brilliant. But I think there is that frustration in a lot of people, like I say, from what I've been hearing of this, you know, there we are doing our best. And then you've got these giant countries unpicking it all. So
I must say, when Trump was in power, I despaired.
Is there anything coming, questions or comments on the stream, Lynn?
Well, Elizabeth did a big walk for COP last Saturday.
Oh, wow.
I think it was, the Saturday before Sunday, because it was the whole weekend. Not yet. Well, there's plenty of chat, but not about what we're saying at the moment.
Just bringing it back to, because we could be having this, loads of people are having this conversation in the pub. What distinctively theological do we have to say? What do we have to say distinctively Christian or based from the scriptures to say or that motivates us about this?
Well, I think the clues in that last verse I read, wasn't it? You know, the man went away sad because he had wealth. Mm. He cared more for the wealth than following Jesus. Mm. And if, as that thing I held up, less is more, if we have more and we hang on to the more, we hang on to the wealth, you know, climate change is here. It's going to wash away, burn away everything, you know. So your car, your nice car, your nice house, your nice clothes, they won't stand the test of time. They will be washed away with the rest of climate change. And it is affecting us. You know, it's knocking down the structures that our society has been built on. It's knocking down food, you know, because all over the world is being affected. So what people have said is very true. Wars will happen. Migrants will be displaced. Certain areas in the world will become too hot to be habitable. So people won't want to move somewhere. Other countries won't want to let them in. We already see this on our TV screens.
I do indeed.
The whole globalisation, food globalisation, you know, having blueberries shipped in from Colombia and grapes from Egypt, it will fall to bits.
Yeah. I mean, when we think about, obviously, right back in Genesis and the story of creation, and you know, God was pleased with what he'd created. And as children of God, how do we feel about the fact that we're destroying what God was pleased with?
Yeah.
You know, now I know there's an argument out there that, well, we don't all believe in God, but there are plenty of us that do.
Well, I think as a Christian, you know, you should be appalled.
Exactly.
And plenty exactly. plenty of Christians are, and lament has its place. But then the opposite side to that is being, as Margaret said, I think speaking truth to power. There are Christian climate activists, and there are some in Glasgow now, even now, praying. And as you said, things have become a lot more mainstream. In 2018, my friend went down to, you know, to join XR on the bridges. He didn't hear anything on the news till they blocked 5 bridges in London. Then he heard about them. And slowly, slowly, they've been able to, you know, they make it onto the news. But at first, you could read about them on Facebook or social media, but there was nothing on the news because the media wasn't treating it. And since then, you've had the Attenborough programmes, Plastic Planet, all this. Mm. And he has sort of really been at the forefront of, and Prince Philip and Prince William, speaking, as if you like, the truth to power.
Yeah.
And a lot more people, I think, sort of mainstream, have seen that and thought, oh, gosh, yes, this must be true because the BBC is saying it.
Well, Tim, according to the chat, it looks like Liz has made the decision more or less that you're not going to have any more avocados.
Yeah, no, we were talking about it the other day. But to be fair, we made the decision together.
Yeah, bless. But yeah, she's sort of saying, it is overwhelming. But you do have to do. It's a similar discussion that I have when I talk to people about compassion, and they're saying, well, what good is sponsoring one child when there are millions of people, but one child is one community, is one, and
I think there's there's a website called Make One Change or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ali says what Margaret said about the lake forming one at a time is good,
Indeed. Okay,
we're definitely making progress.
Not quick enough.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And Jason says one thing to keep in mind is that, products imported from abroad actually are an important source of income for those countries. Stopping buying their products means no money for those communities. These issues are complex.
They are.
I would have to reply, Jason, but that depends whether it's a big agribusiness growing those avocados or some fair trade company, because fair trade means that a farmer's got a fair cut, and big agribusiness usually means they don't.
It is a very complex situation, absolutely.
But it is, as somebody else said, climate change is a social justice issue. The people at the sharp end get paid.
Oh, you're getting emotional there,
Lynn. No, get paid, peanuts for picking crops and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to continue the theme with our music this evening. It's going to take me just a little minute to open it, so talk amongst yourselves. Don't really.
What do we say?
That's all right.
But they can do it on the stream.
They can do it on the stream. That's fine. Absolutely. They've been talking to them. So it sounds like when you're saying they've been having cool chats, then it sounds like they've been doing it on the stream all the way through anyway. Mm-hmm. So yes, we've got some music now, and then Sarah's going to lead some prayers. So we'll just go straight from the music into the prayers, please, Sarah. Is that all right?
Okay, no worries.
Lovely. I'll see you in a bit.
Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cures for their ills. Work for the craftsmen, trade for their skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor. victory, freedoms to share, peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, a future, a dream.
So as you come together for prayer and we think about caring for our planet, then we use CARE as an acronym to pray by this evening. So we start with C, calm. We pause in a moment of calm, clear our minds so that we can hear and feel whatever you're laying on our hearts, Lord. And then we appraise that we may allow ourselves time to reflect and consider our day-to-day lives, what we do, how we do it, how we speak to people, and just as importantly, how we listen to people, that we might understand the impact of our thoughts and actions on ourselves, each other, and most importantly, on our relationship with you, our Lord, El Shaddai. And then we come to our request and react. That in prayer we might ask what we can do, Lord, and respond in a way that pleases and honours you.
Yes, Lord, give us the perseverance to make changes and to get into new habits, which can be very difficult to break, to actually get on with it, Lord. Amen.
Give us the courage, Lord, to speak truth to power, to live a more simple life that reflects your glory and the way you would want us to act. Help us not to be greedy, selfish, Help us to think of others and who, and those who our actions, however small, may affect. Help us to think, for every choice that we make, what we buy, what we don't, what we read, what we listen to, for every action, we affect somebody somewhere. And help us to remember that, Lord. Amen.
And finally, Lord, we engage with your plans for us, for your communities and for all nations, that we may live our lives as you ask of us by your grace. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Are there any particular prayers or prayer requests you want to pick up off the stream, Lynn?
Charlotte would like prayer for her health. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very, 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 very long stream today.
That's all right.
Elizabeth, prayer for wildlife. As I said, it's a long stream. Okay. Yeah, pray for Charlotte.
Yeah. So, Father God, we lift Charlotte to you. We thank you for her, for those who care for her. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will be working in her mind and body, bringing her to wholeness and to health. Give her strength, please, Lord. Amen.
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 Cool, an hour's flown by again.
Hasn't it just?
Yes. It's been really good to have your company this evening. Those of you who are with us live, it's good to be able to share with you those who aren't live with us this week. One thing I wanted to mention is that this weekend, Saturday evening, is our monthly Ignite celebration at All Saints. So if you're in the Telfordish area and you want to come along for an hour or so, hour and a half maybe, of worship and prayer and contemporary music and just a good chill time in the presence of God, 7:30 at All Saints. If you're not in the Telford area, or if you are in the Telford area but can't make it, it will be streamed on our Facebook page. Just like this, so you can join in from home or from work or wherever you are, if that's easier for you. But yeah, it'd be great to see those who can make it to Ignite. I know Sarah's off partying in London, so she won't be there.
Yeah, new dress, new heels, the lot. It's probably the first time I've been out, you know, for 2 years. I've got to try and remember how to do it and how to keep awake past 10 o'clock.
There you go.
Okay. I thought it was a bit extreme going to Shrewsbury for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking of you all there because it's a great night.
Yeah, it'll be good. But apart from that, we'll catch up with you.
I should be watching Strictly. Much more exciting.
Oh, Lynn!
Maybe that's why, Sarah, maybe that's why numbers are down, because everybody's at home watching Strictly.
Watching Strictly?
That's on Saturday night.
Yeah, there you go. You always lose if you go off opposite Strictly. Anyway, right, that is enough of that. Farewell, everybody. Have a great week. God bless you. Say goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Lynn.
Goodbye.
Bye.